I'm John Bond. Welcome to Move Yourself Happy. Made for fitness enthusiasts who want to make their passion their profession. Are you unhappy in your present job? Are you passionate about health and fitness? Do you want to release your true potential? If the answer is yes, this podcast is for you. I will be teaching you the specific knowledge that every trainer and coach needs to be successful. So listen closely as I share my expertise with you. So just like me, you can love what you do.
Dave.
John.
Finally got you on here.
You've been badgering me.
You've had a few mentions, I don't know if you're aware of that.
That's very kind. Hopefully they're in a positive light.
Yeah, we control the controllables.
Always.
What was the other one? There's a few of them that... Well, I'm sure, actually, these are spoilers.
Because trust,
sure,
the process. These,
trust the process. That definitely came up. Right, so for the listeners, if we could begin with just sort of introducing yourself and telling us a bit about what you do.
I am currently, from my official title, Teaching and Learning Manager at Worthing College, which oversees a number of areas, including all of the sport education, but also the highly successful Academy of Sport, which allows young performers to perform at their maximum, both in and out of the classroom. So whether it's national level sport, and having gained their qualifications alongside that, and then going on to bigger and better things. And then within my skill set, I also run other departments as well. So I'm involved in English and health and social care. So that kind of keeps me on my toes. But a big thing potentially that I wouldn't say I'd be remembered for or things like that was the men's football program. I was a main part of starting that 16 years ago, and kind of the success and the amount of people that have gone through that and the college in general and just gone on to be really successful people, really. Not necessarily performers or the world of business or anything, but there's so many success stories out there. And, you know, potentially for me, I go to work every morning to try and give those students the opportunity to be the best they can be.
Yeah. And some of them gone on to do some great things, like the hardest geezer. He was a Worthing College lad, wasn't he?
Yeah. Russ, he was a footballer, and he still is. I think he's playing quite soon. He done a London Marathon yesterday, didn't he? So kind of a bit of a like warm-up for him, really. But he's been, we're really big on kind of bringing everything a full circle. So if there's anyone that we feel can come in and talk to the current students about, you know, whether it be mindset or whether it be their experiences, we're all for that. And Russ has been in a couple of times pre-Africa, because he did some pretty mad things before. There's quite a few. Check his YouTube account. So he was really great on mindset, and kind of he'd been in quite a low place and then where he was then. And then obviously right now it's really taken a massive, it's blown up, to be honest. And he deserves everything he gets. He deserves all the plaudits that he gets. And, he's quite a phenomenal human being. And if there was a tiny thing that he took from his time with us, then obviously that's something we're exceptionally proud of. There's for every Russ Cook, there's tens and hundreds of other outstanding individuals. And I think the beauty of it is just, you know, whether you've run the length of Africa or whether you've got a really great family or, you know, really good job and maybe helping others or earning lots of money, it's still success. It just depends what you define success as.
I love that. That's brilliant. Because as you were saying it, I was thinking about some of the students that have got other things going on that they're managing in the background that potentially the rest of the students in their class don't know about, and they're having to deal with that. And just the fact that they're attending, turning up on time every day is their version of running the length of Africa, isn't it?
100%. So from that point of view, I think, and I'm really proud to kind of head and lead this department, and I'm very fortunate because we have some excellent practitioners like yourself, obviously in the stuff you do with the foundation degree, where you know, look, yeah, for some people, we don't know what's going on behind closed doors. Being here is something that, you know, for them, it's a release. And I think it's great testament to all the staff here in terms of the environment that's created for people to feel that they're comfortable to come here. And I know we were speaking off camera, in terms of us trying to provide an environment where students are comfortably uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So it's okay to feel uncomfortable. It's okay to feel nervous. It's okay to feel worry and tension, but actually how you overcome that barrier and, you know, maybe take that chance or take that risk or, you know, work that little bit harder to get where you want to be in terms of the bigger picture.
Yeah, definitely. And like the reason I wanted to get you on is for a couple of reasons. So one, obviously you've got a wealth of experience when it comes to teaching and coaching, and those two roles are very, very similar. There's a very subtle differences, but they're very, very similar. Essentially, they are both trying to get the best out of the individual. And and we've been talking loads about off camera about the importance of mindset. So like all these little individual components that contribute towards somebody going out there and having a great life, good well-being, success, whatever you want to call it. But the overriding kind of factor within that that we kind of agreed on was mindset. And that's something you've been big on, well, your whole career by the sounds of it. So that's what I thought, let's just get into that, because that is so important for anyone, whether you're looking to improve your health and fitness, whether you're looking to go on and start a business, whether you're looking to get yourself out of a sticky situation that you're currently going through right now. It's so important, isn't it?
Massively so. And I think it's easy to say mindset, because mindset's quite a big thing, isn't it? It's quite a broad subject. And it's okay for someone like myself to come in here and go, yeah, it's all about mindset. But, you know, for me, it's about what mindset means to you as the individual. Mm. So it's kind of little things, really. Like, can you get, and again, it's something we discussed off camera, really, can you get small wins each day to then take you to the next step or try and make you better than what you were the day before? So that might be something really simple, like getting up on time. Mm. Might be something really simple, like making your bed, having a decent breakfast, getting yourself some exercise, having a walk, or like what I do, ice baths. I've got into that heavily the last 6 to 9 months, you know, and that's really benefited me. It's not necessarily going to benefit everyone, but it's something that's quite individual to myself. But it is, yeah, mindset for me is such a big subject. But it's for us here in particular, and potentially our lives outside in general, it's about creating an environment where people can be the best they can be without being worried about other people kind of not necessarily digging you out for being good, but, you know, just everyone celebrates for us people being successful rather than being envious and all that kind of stuff. Mm. But as I've said previously, success to me is different maybe to success to you and other students and other people. So, you know, it's about how we create the environment for them people to go and find their own path, really.
Yeah, but although mindset will be slightly subjective, I think, to different people, there are still some common themes or like common metrics, I suppose, that you could use to measure. So like you said earlier about being comfortable, being uncomfortable. And I think sometimes it's those people that go on to, like, you know, you think about the obvious people in sport, like the Michael Phelps of the world and, the Lewis Hamiltons and those, you know, Victoria Pemberton, the people that you know have worked on their mindset and they've done a lot of visualization training, all that sort of stuff. They obviously picture success and they goal set and they do that stuff, but they also picture adversity and then they figure out in their heads how they can work around it and they just accept that there are going to be problems in life. It's not going to be plain sailing. But they develop this self-confidence where they just go, but I'll deal with it. Mm. Whatever's thrown at me, I'll deal with it. And sometimes it's going to be stressful, it's going to be painful, it's going to be, you know, all those things. But I'll deal with it.
I'm potentially going to be a little bit controversial now, and I don't mind doing it, and I don't mind really saying it. But, and it probably won't be the first time I mention him on this, but obviously a great mentor to both of us was was Stephen Braybrook, or Dr. Stephen Braybrook, we call him now. You know, thankfully he got his doctorate after passing. But, you know, he always spoke about being real. And I think the big thing is now within society, and I think it is a little bit of a society thing where, you know, like, it's, there's no winners or no losers. It's all about, you know, taking part, especially young kids. And to a certain extent, I tend to understand that a little bit. But if we're talking about life, for example, it's quite hard to get a job at the moment, or it's probably even harder to get a career job, let's say, something you want to do for a career. So with that in mind, there's going to be, like, I don't know, 20 or 30 people going for the same job. So you're either going to win and get that job, or you're going to lose. But it's how you deal with that loss or deal with adversity. So this is where trust the process comes in, I suppose, where you have to understand that there will be adverse times, there will be things that go wrong, but you have to trust your process in terms of getting where you want to go. You know, prime example is Russ and the Hardest Geezer. The amount of problems and issues that he had to overcome just to run, well, I'm not saying just to run, but the length of Africa, you know, that many potentially may have given up. But because of, you know, it's like, right, okay, this is a problem. However, I'm now going to figure out how to deal with it. And I think that's something that's missing from young people, because they're in an environment at times, and I'm not saying it's every young person, but they're at times where it's all, oh, it's okay, you lost. Well, no, it's okay, but, like, how do you deal with that loss? So what do you take away from that? So I run a grassroots football team, and obviously at the moment there's no scores, there's no leagues, blah, blah, blah. And obviously the extrinsic reward of getting medals and stuff, okay, yeah, don't need that. But at the same time, for me, I feel it's quite important. It's part of my teaching and coaching, and that's where the combination lies, where actually they've got to learn how to deal with losing. But at the same time, they've got to learn with how to deal with winning. So it's a fact of, okay, they won a game or they played well. Don't brag about it. Actually think about what you did well, and then actually what you could improve on, and then try and keep that consistency. And it's the same with losing. So I'll be, you know, I love my side to death. They hate coming second. They hate losing. And I'm not going to stifle that. I'm actually going to, for me, I'm going to enhance that and say, well, that's brilliant, but how do we then channel that frustration to being better?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, turn it into a positive instead of it being like, oh, we lost, or, oh, you know, whatever. It's like, well, okay, so what can we learn from this?
But I like the feeling of, I like the feeling that they don't accept losing, because I think too many people accept losing. And this is where I'm probably controversial. I do apologise.
No, right? We love that controversial.
The comments below will be kicking off, right? But in...
What's this Phyllis Cohen talking about?
Well, there'll be none, because no one will listen to it. But from my point of view, too many people nowadays accept losing. Right? They accept, like, first barrier comes up, not going to do it. All right? Again, we were talking off camera about a couple of bits. A message comes through, you know, can I do something last minute, like your example, can I do something last minute? The thought process goes into my head. Easy option is, don't do it. You know, comfortably uncomfortable option is, yeah, I'm going to give it a go. Whatever happens, happens. I haven't lost anything. I can only gain. And again, this flips over to a little bit of teaching, learning and coaching as well, where, and I was on a course the weekend, I just delivered a course, and one of the main focuses for us and the tutors, and the tutors are brilliant, really well experienced, is that actually let's not focus on the negative, i.e. what people aren't doing. Let's focus on what people are doing in a positive aspect. So if someone's a really good, sorry, it's about football, so obviously if you don't like football, you can turn off now. But but say, for example, someone's really fast. Insert your sport here. So if someone's really fast and really good with travelling the ball, for example, why can't we praise that and actually get that player to do that more often? Because they're really good at it. Whereas actually... whereas most people, which is natural, it's just natural, isn't it? Whereas most people probably look for the negatives of that player, like maybe they can't pass with their other foot, for example. So you've got to really work on that. But actually, if they're developing their dribbling, in time they use both feet anyway. That makes sense? So
yeah,
I know, totally. I know you're
but we
know your thing, but it's kind of saying, you know, totally, the process in life.
Because the negativity thing, is, I mean, actually, as humans, we have to work pretty damn hard to not be negative, because negativity has kept us alive. You know, if you were, once upon a time, if you were like, you know, that saber-tooth tiger actually looks really cute, I think we I think we should go over and stroke it, you know, then that would have got us killed. Whereas if we're like, oh, those teeth look really big, oh my god, I think we should go hide, or let's go make some weapons or whatever, like, it kept us alive. So that's part of us, that's who we are. But we don't live in those times anymore, so we can, luckily, we actually, so objectively, we live in the best time there's ever been. It's just, we don't see it that way, because we have showcased everything that's negative.
Well, yeah, well, you can see that, can't you, with social media and, like, people thinking the world's going to end and all this kind of stuff that goes on a day-to-day basis, and, you know, all the conspiracy theories about, we're not going to go deep into that, but the conspiracy theories into COVID and blah, 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 and whatever goes on. Look, at the end of the day, you have one life, live it. You know, for me, you know, obviously losing two very close mentors of mine that actually helped me and have turned me into the practitioner I am today, which hopefully is not a bad one. You know, one of the things that they would say is just be you, and whatever you is, do it to the best of your ability, because that will get you far.
Yeah, I was watching, have you seen Green Book?
No.
It's a lovely film, actually. If anyone hasn't seen it, definitely watch it. But there's a character in there, and at one point he says, my dad used to say to me, whatever you're doing, do it 100%. So he said, like, you know, if you're working, work to 100%. If you're having fun, do it to 100%. And I kind of like that. It's like, don't do anything half-heartedly. Work as best you can, but have playtime to the best you can. And
yeah, it's all or nothing, isn't it? And I think... you know, my wife will disagree with it if she's listening to this, but I do apologise, Laura. But, you know, work-life balance is very important. I think she thinks I work too hard. But on the flip side of it, you know, in terms of my job, I would say I do get up every morning and want to go to work. I know that it can't be the case for everybody, unfortunately, because needs must and money and, you know, cost of living, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But it is about just making the best of every second, every minute. And, you know, if you can get that utopia of, you know, being able to support your family financially, but also have the opportunity to have those, you know, work-life balance moments, then that's amazing. But you don't get there. And this is, again, might be a bit controversial, but you don't just get there by it just happening. There's a lot of blood, sweat and tears during that process. Yeah. We both know it. We've both had, you know, quite varying careers of different levels of success. But it seems I'm bashing the current young society, but because of the social media culture, it's all like, yeah, they want it now rather than actually what's the process. And this is why the trust the process comes in. So what's the process between there and there to actually get to here? But they just want it now. And then if they don't get it now, they throw their toys out the pram and they blame us.
Well, I think, and we've said before, I don't think, like, so in their defense, you can argue that it's not their fault, because I don't like that attitude that everything's beyond your own control. But they're in this strange time where these wonderful lives have been showcased to them all the time, but they don't get to see the journey. So, like, again, like, you, someone like, I don't know, Michael Phelps or whatever, so some sort of athlete, and we go, oh, wow, 10 golds, or, you know, making millions of pounds, you know. Actually, so talking about Ross, the Heider Skeezer, he's a good example. So if he goes on to be, you know, on every chat show going, all the accolades, fame, money, all that stuff, people are going to be like, what's he done to deserve that? And it's like, well, so you want that, you want all the accolades that he's got right now, but have you run the length of Africa? Because he's given up everything, and he's gone and done that. He's risked his life.
He's a massive risk, yeah.
Like, there's so many risks involved in what he's decided to do, and now he's going to enjoy the spoils of that. So, yeah, in my opinion, I'm another guy, but I think he deserves whatever he's going to get, because he's taken a massive risk, you know.
Yeah, too right. And I think it comes to another one of my sayings. I do apologise, you'll get sick of them. But, you know, I always used to say to my players, success comes when no one is watching. So it's like now we're just outside the gym area here at the college, and I can see there's quite a few student athletes in there working out. You know, no one's watching them. It's not on social media. It's not, know, it's not like one of our posts saying that so-and-so's won this and won that. Actually, success comes when no one is watching. So, you know, for me, that's... And I think as well, if you drip feed that approach and continue to reinforce it within an environment that they are in quite a lot of, you know, you will catch the majority of them. But on the flip side, actually, don't be too disappointed if you don't catch everyone. But I've had students and past students that have, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 years later have come up to me. They might have seen me in the street or at a function or whatever and have said, Dave, do you know what? What you said at college or whoever said that at college, that's bang on. You know, I totally agree with that now.
Mm.
So as long as they get there, it doesn't matter when they get there. It might be during college. It might be after. It might be years after. But as long as they get there, you're doing all you can to affect. You can only affect what you can affect. Mm. Another quote. But you can only affect what you can affect. And anything else outside of your control, you can't do anything about it. So don't sweat about it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's very true, isn't it? It's really easy to get into that habit of, well, having a moaning about stuff that's out of your control is a bit, when you rationalise it, it is a bit ridiculous. It's out of your control. Why are you moaning about it? Move on. You know, it's something that, again, just seems to have come naturally to us humans to do that. But then if you're moaning about stuff that is in your control, that's kind of crazy too, because do something better than it's in your control. You know, like I've had it before where I was like, a mate or whatever might have annoyed you and you're like, you know, moaning to the wife or whatever. And they'll say, well, have you actually spoken to them about this? Like, have you brought this up? No, you know. And you're expecting them just to know what's in your head and know that they've, you know. So, yeah, it's fun, isn't it? How we just have this default kind of critical moaning, and you have to silence that voice, don't you, and try and overcome that. So for your guys that obviously teaching but coaching football as well, do you talk much about mindset, like in the changing room, on the pitch, in the classroom?
Yeah, I'm to be fair, I'm probably more of a psychologist than I am a tactician, coaching wise. You have the saying of people management. I'd like to think I'm relatively good at that in terms of things like reading the room, obviously being able to deal with different people. It's a day-to-day occurrence with me and my job. So say I'm managing up to 20 plus staff of different experiences, different backgrounds, different opinions, different ways of working. So you have to do that. So obviously within a coaching environment, maybe not so much at under nines, where actually arguably it is, you could argue it is. But at the end of the day, football is an invasion game. And at the end of the day, it's a war.
Mm.
So you're going up against someone right next to you. So the idea is you've just got to get it better of them. However you can, within the rules.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can get the better of that individual, and if everyone in your team does that, then you've got a massive opportunity. In the game of football, not necessarily the best team wins, but at the end of the day, if you perform well and perform to your potential, psychological theory states that, you know, there is that opportunity that you'll get a successful outcome. So I think from that point of view, yes, I'm very heavy on, as you can tell about all the quotes and stuff like that. And again, it's about keeping things simple. So trying to do it in 3 or 4 words rather than 50. Because I know there's people out there that will explain things in about 100 words, where they could probably just use 5 or 6.
Mm.
And especially with the age group we work with, it's like you need to have them like that, otherwise they just switch off.
Mm.
And I think it's almost the same as, it's the same in teaching, where you've got to allow the students to understand what the bigger picture could be. So, you know, actually, by you doing this, by you turning up, by you handing assignments, by you revising, by you being able to present clearly and coherently, that actually helps you for when you're in the big, bad, wide world.
Mm.
And you've got to be realistic about that. Because I don't think necessarily students at this age understand how well they got, how good they got it. Do you know what I mean? So I'm not saying all, because some, you know, we do know some stories, bless them, and we're there to support them and stuff like that. But the majority of people have got, they got a house, they get fed, you know, they probably get money, allowance, pocket money, what are you going to call it? They might have a job, you know, the majority can kind of do that. They haven't got the responsibility of other people, they haven't got the responsibility of rent or mortgage or stuff like that. But potentially when they get moved out into that wide world, that becomes a reality. So how do they cope with that? All right. And it's just a fact of actually, you know, how can we ready them? And I think on the whole here in this environment, in this department, we do a relatively good job. I think we can do better, but I think it is massively about motivation, being real, because you've got to understand in life, you are going to win, you are going to lose.
Mm.
And it's about also, we spoke about it off air as well, the fact of being role models, in the sense of, you know, as some people will testify, like particularly this year, I've kind of been quite stern at times with certain students and made them fully aware that the standards, they haven't hit the standards this year. But obviously if I don't hit those standards, then don't count for anything, does it?
Mm.
You know, another saying, you've got to work harder than anyone else in the room. I'll give Ben Coulson that one, because that's what he says. You know, you've got to work harder than anyone else in the room. And it doesn't matter what your background is, what your academic background is, because also we have quite a varied level of academic background that come to us at Worthing College, and that, and especially in our department, which, you know, we celebrate, don't we? Because we want everyone to achieve. It doesn't matter what background.
Yeah. That what you're saying there, that being the hardest work in the room, that's any industry, isn't it? But there's a ton of athletes, they always talk about like doing the math, like so going, because you've got the 10,000 hour thing, which obviously has been chucked around a lot. But if you say, right, let's say, whether it's sport, whether it's business, it can be anything, whether it's acting, stand-up comedy.
Yes.
You go, right, I want to be as good as that individual there. So that person's inspiring me. I want to be as good as that. I want to have that business, whatever it is. You go, right, what did they do to get there? It was this many hours. It was doing that stuff. So the blueprint, you can get that stuff online now, can't you? The blueprint is there to pretty much anything you want. And then if you go, right, I actually want to be even better. So then you go, well, I do that plus another 10%, like whatever it is. So I really like that, like be the hardest work in the room. It's like, well, you just do the math, then you go, this is what most people are doing. I don't want the spoils or the accolades of what most people get. I want a bit more. So then you put in more to get more out.
And it takes, look, it's, What we want to try and achieve is we want to try to make sure that every person, and do we get 100% success rate? Probably not. But we want to make sure that every single person that comes into our room, whether it's our classroom, whether it's the sports field or whatever, has the opportunity to give it everything, to give it absolutely everything. And, you know, whatever level that then comes out at as an end point, at least they can turn around and go, Do you know what? I've done that. So when working with the football team and the program and stuff like that, we always spoke about doing the extras. So the extras is not necessarily, so we can, again, a lot of this potentially, like people might be listening and go, oh, Dave, throw away comments all over the shop, you're throwing them away. But it's like, actually, we delved into what we thought mindset meant for us. We delved into what extras meant for us as a group, as a collective, as me as an individual. So I would say things like to my performers or my players, like, are you doing the extras or are you doing the extras with the overemphasis of the doing? So you could say, yeah, I'm in the gym. So those guys and girls there now, you know, they're there, but are they present? So are they actually working as hard as they physically can, or are they just there to go, oh, I've done my bit?
Yeah,
so that's just ticking a box, making the coach happy, making the teacher happy. Are you going above and beyond to be able to actually make yourself better? And it's linked to those, you know, incremental gains. If you improve 10 things by 1%, it's potentially easier to do that than actually improve one thing by 10%.
Mm.
But by doing that, you've already improved 10%. That's the, you know, and I do like to look at other sports, and obviously rugby. Football's my main thing, but, you know, rugby, obviously, Sir Clive Woodward, when they won the World Cup in 2003, the All Blacks, all that kind of stuff, you know, really important. The kind of attention to detail that the NFL players go into is absolutely next level. especially with things like reading playbooks and, well, it's not reading them now, is it, 'cause they're all online, but kind of the attention to detail to be able to do that and pick that up. That does require some, you know, some level of discipline, some level of focus, and also understanding as well. So, you know, if that environment can be provided and offered to the players, the learners that we have here, whether they take it up or not is up to them. But actually, if they see the majority take it up, then they'll follow, won't they? So they'll go, oh, well, they're doing that. Well, that should be me. But on the flip side, I still think that not many do the extras. Like, how many? So, for example, there's footballers in our program now. How many footballers in our program, you know, watch tape of themselves off their own devices? The facility's there. We do it. We give it to them. They've got an app. They can look at it. How many actually do that? How many actually look at players in their position? So one of the questions I would always get asked is, Dave, why haven't you picked me? Simple question back. So all I would do is I'd go, well, who's playing in front of you? Oh, so-and-so. Right, okay. What could you do, or what are you currently doing better than them? And 9 times out of 10, they can't answer the question.
Mm.
So that kind of, they've answered their own question. So they actually should be going to look away and going, actually, yeah, Joe Bloggs is in my place, or Joe Bloggs is in the job that I want, or Joe Bloggs is currently getting distinctions or A stars in the classroom environment.
Mm.
What are they doing? I'm going to do everything I can and more, like you said, to go to the next level.
Yeah. Like, I watched Chris Rock stand up a while back, and he says in there, like, once upon a time, if you wanted to get a promotion or you wanted to get that next job that's going, you just have to be the hardest worker in the room.
Mm.
He's like, now you just have to wait until someone says something stupid and gets themselves fired. but no, I do still think there's room for that. I still think there's room for exactly what you just said, is making sure that obviously you've got to work smart as well. You know, you can't just be busy going, oh, what have you done? I've done a lovely little notice board over here. Like, you know, I've been doing that all day. You've got to make sure it's the right stuff that you're working on. But it is just doing the math, what those athletes say. It's like, okay. And actually, like, for anyone listening and thinking, this is getting a bit elitist, they will keep talking about as being the best, you know, best in the world or whatever. It's like, well, actually, if your choice is you do just want to do something pretty regular or nothing, you know, out of the norm, or just, you know, not relatively normal, whatever you want to call it. But there still is like a baseline or a benchmark you've got to hit.
Oh, it's weird. Get that, yeah, it was weird. So, like, I don't know. It must be, I don't know where I've got it from. It must be ingrained. And I'm not saying this is for everyone, because especially with psychology, we'll probably have 50% of people would have turned off by now because they think it's a load of rubbish. And you have 50% that actually believe in it. And that's not a problem. Again, it's about, but I know that over 17 years, it has given results.
Mm.
So, you know, I don't do it and I won't do it, but I could go, right, here's all my medals, all my national titles, all my county cup titles and stuff. And, you know, the amount of top grades we've had, and we've had the top, you know, top 10, 15% in the country for our grades over the last 10 years. I could say that. So I think there is actually a place for it. It does work.
Yeah.
But from that point of view, it is, I kind of forgot my point now, because I just went off on a little bit of a tangent, but I think, no, actually I remembered it now. Brilliant. So and it was strange when I was, so again, I really respect people this age, 16 to 19, or however old now you can get a job. I think it's getting older, which is a bit of a shame. So I'd like, you know, back in the day, we had paper rounds at 12 and stuff like that. You knew the value of money. You knew the value of work, getting up early, blah, blah, blah. Obviously that's kind of gone because of online stuff. Whatever job I did, so whether it was working in Iceland, you know, whether it was working in a fish and chip shop, I'd want to be the best at that job I was given. So I don't know whether it's, you know, and look, I'm just sat here, arguably I'm a bit of a no one really, you know, I run or I'm part of a highly successful educational program, I'm part of a highly successful sporting program, it's been built over 17 years, but I'm not like an elite level athlete, do you know what I mean? But I just had, you know, and you never know, things might have been different for, unless there was injury at a young age, but, you know, like, it was just that in me that I just wanted to be the best at whatever I was given. So if I was a shelf stacker, my shelves are going to be the best. You know, I'm not asking for every single person to be like that, but what you're probably asking for is, you know, for me, everyone that lives on this earth should arguably try and make a positive difference. Whether that is just being a good human being, i.e., and this is one thing that I really noticed this year, which I had to nip in the bud quite early, I'd walk down corridors, I'd say hello, good morning to people, and these are students, by the way, and they blank you, and you're like, come on, do you know what I mean? Because I do think it's a bit of phone culture, head down, and I'm guilty of it as well. I'm on my phone all the time. You know, I have to rein myself in. I probably should be better at that. But actual pure manners, from a psychological point of view, someone says hello to you in the morning, you feel good. Do you know what I mean?
Definitely.
How are you doing? It's just something that is so simple. Manners cost nothing. Another phrase. Manners cost nothing. But it literally is just walk up, saying hello, and that culture changed. So like, you know, everyone's getting sick and tired of everyone saying hello. But you know, it's just one of them things that actually, you know, you get. Oh yeah, so and so. You know, it's just a nice thing.
Yeah, definitely. Real life interaction, someone remembering your name, someone you feel valued. They've actually bothered to remember your name and they've bothered to acknowledge you.
Yeah, and it's big in the fitness world as well, isn't it?
You know, when you're
trying to get customers or, you know, or just trying to make sure that people actually adhere to their fitness goals or health goals. And it's just so much of it is so transferable.
When you're talking then about how you always want to be like the best shelf stacker, if that's what you were doing at the time.
I think I was.
I'm sure you were. That resonates with me completely. Everything I've ever done, I've always wanted to be the best of it. I don't know whether I'm what. Am I always thinking I want to be better than others, or the best I can be will be better than others? I don't know, whatever way you look at it. But
I think, sorry to interject. So I think it's more, in my opinion, it's more for me. So I understand there's people better than me. And I think it's something that needs to be considered with everyone. There will always be someone that's better than you. Always.
But is it the shoot always for the stars? You might, was it, what's it?
Another one, isn't it? It's, if you
two variations of it, this one.
If you go to the moon, you'll catch some stars.
Yeah, you'll catch some stars, yeah. So I think some of it's that, isn't it? It's just like, look, you know, whether I, because if you say I must be the best in this department, and that's what I'm putting all my happiness and contentment is based around, whether I am the best in this department. Well, there's a problem with that, because you could be the best in the department because everyone else is crap. And then, you know, but if you're, so you're not actually having to try very hard to be that good, the best in the department. But if you're just aiming to be the best you can be, and that just so happens means you are the best in the department, then you're relishing in your hard work, because I don't know, like that'll, we'll put a quote in there. Great the challenge, great the triumph. There's definitely something in that, isn't there?
High risk, high reward.
Yeah. The harder you work, the more you value it, the more you go, oh, that feels good, when it actually does pay off in the end. So I think there's some of that in there. There's just something nice about it.
I think it's intrinsic. I think if you're looking at something that is, you're doing it for your self-fulfillment and accomplishment, that's more rewarding than actually doing it for any accolades. I don't do this job to get thanked. Do you see what I mean? This job, coaching, teaching, even working my little ones under nines, I don't do it to get thanked. I do it because I want to have some way in which I can support and make people better through my experiences. Am I right all the time? No, not at all. You know, the top coach in the world, Pep Guardiola, would hold his hands up. He did it in the All or Nothing documentary and said, I don't know everything. So if he doesn't know everything, geez, I don't know everything. And it's not about that. It's about, for me, and there was something resonating with me while you were talking in that last bit, where actually I used to care too much and it used to really get me down. So like, for example, when a student didn't listen to you or didn't turn up for something that you set up, you know, so you turn up, you set up the support session, don't turn up, you would take it absolutely personally.
Yeah.
And it would like really bring me down. So it's not like now, and I've evolved, it's not like I don't care. It's the fact of actually that's their choice.
Yeah.
But if you didn't have that provision there, I'd feel worse for not having that provision there, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. But I think it's also going back to that thing we said about controlling the controllables is all you can do is do the best you can do. And some of those students or performers are going to be positively influenced and they're going to change and they're going to go on to be better for it. You can't help all of them. Some of them won't.
No.
You just do your best.
Another quote. You can lead the horse to water.
Yes.
But can you make it drink?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
That's another one that's used. They're just flying out today. Everyone is going to be snooze fest, turned off. Who's this guy? Load of cliches. But behind the cliche, there are meanings.
Yeah,
it's not just firing out. Like, but then if you say those things often enough, you know, feelings become things. Psychology, people say them with the meaning, with the context. They actually, you know, it rings true.
Positive affirmations and stuff. Yeah, I never used to be into all that. And as I've got older, I actually got into the psychology more as I've got older because my own little anecdotal research study of working as a coach, as a teacher, as a parent. You just see it, don't you? Just see it all around you that, you know, if you just keep it. And actually, that's cognitive behavioural therapy as well, isn't it? If you think something, then and you sit with that thought, that becomes an emotion. There's even like a physiological change going on in your body. That heart rate goes up, blood pressure goes up, etc. That then becomes an action. That becomes a behaviour. That behaviour becomes a habit, and then the habit becomes who you are, kind of thing. So it all has a knock-on effect. So it is important how you control your thoughts. We had a guy on the other week. He told me that he'd done the 12 steps.
Mm.
And on that, they talk about you can't control your first thought, but you can control your second. It really stuck with me for a long time, that did. And I've been sort of consciously thinking like that all the time. So every time my first thought, like I said to you the other day about that message I got, my first thought was like, oh, no.
Mm.
Then I challenged the first thought. Because your natural reaction is always going to be a little bit like, I think you mentioned the chimp paradox to me once, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah, good book that I've, you know, and again, like with all of this stuff, there'll be people in two camps, like, yeah, this is amazing, can you tell me more? Or no, you're talking rubbish and throwing a load of things out.
You're overthinking it.
That can be challenged and whatever. Look, I'm not, you know, if someone wants to challenge me, I'm not fussed about it. At the end of the day, it's worked for me.
Yeah,
worked for me. What I've done's worked for me. What you've done's worked for you. Whatever works for me might not work for someone else. But, you know, it's like teaching. You have to, it's called adaptive learning now. It's not called differentiation, is it? It's called adaptive learning. I'd rather get a slap. But, you know, it's about offering different opportunities for people to learn in different ways. And they pick the best one and they, you know, that's how they move with it.
I want to try and remember to come back to that.
But yeah, we can do. But yeah, but like adapt, you know, with the chimp paradox, as some of you might know, we all have a chimp in there, which is kind of our initial emotion response, humanistic response, which is quite, not barbaric, it's the wrong word, but quite basic needs, you know, X, Y, Z. But it's how we channel that in a chimp. So for example, there'll be things that, you know, that people may say to you that you don't like. So it's fine not liking that comment, but it's how you deal with that. So it's quite, I quite like the bit of the book which talks about, you know, communication. So how would you say it? When would you say it? Where would you say it? How long after? So really important giving feedback after, you know, just giving feedback, whether it be, you know, after a game, how you do that, where you don't do it straight away. Because emotions are high.
Yeah, let the chimp get back in the box.
Exactly. You know, like whether it's in a classroom environment, you know, do you look at things, you kind of, yeah, you obviously people want instant feedback, but it's kind of how long and how specific that is. Is it detailed? Probably not. It's quite short, and then we pick up with that after, because, again, there still might be, oh, why didn't you give me this grade, or why didn't I get that grade? You know, so it's kind of, right, that's the first thought, and then how do we go about it after? But it's quite important how you frame that conversation. And have I got it right every time? No. Not, you know, I'm more than happy to admit that. But again, it's about knowing the people around you and how to, you know, as we know, there's different personalities in this department, and certain people will take things a certain way, and it's how you deliver that message, really.
Yeah. Extroverts, introverts, a bit neurotic, not, you know, there's so many, you know. With the chimp thing, because there's so many analogies, and I was brought up, I'm actually Catholic, do you know?
I do now.
I was brought up Catholic, but I'm not practicing Catholic now, and I'm not necessarily, I don't necessarily have have a faith now, but I've always loved the ethos. I'd probably describe myself as being agnostic now, because I just like, I'm not really sure. I haven't really got time to think about it right now.
No, too busy.
Maybe I'll go back, back to that when I'm retired. But,
spiritual.
But I love the ethos, and I've always, because of it was ingrained into it from primary school, secondary school, I still have this thing where I've got the angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other. Like, do you remember the old, was it Goofy?
We have like Tom and Jerry and stuff.
Yeah, Tom and Jerry, that was it, yeah. And you know, there's some sort of cartoon, I can picture it, but I still have that. And whatever I'm doing, that first thought sometimes where I might be like a bit neurotic, or the chimps, like, that's, for me, that's like the devil. That's the devil going, you know, tell them, you know, shout back at them, argue back, do whatever. And that one normally jumps in first quite often. And then it's the angel that has to go, whoa, hold on, take a moment, think about this. How you at? And it, for me, it's for everything. It's like if, you know, someone says, do you want to, should get some shots. The devil's going, yeah, let's do shots. And the angel's going, do you really want to do shots? You know, you're going to have a minging hangover tomorrow morning, and you're meant to be going for that half marathon over the day. You know, so, you know, someone listening might be like, that's a bit weird, you're walking around this devil and an angel. But I don't know, it kind of works for me. And I think it links to whichever way you look at it, the chimp, or whatever. Like,
again, it suits, you know, it. Psychology is individual, because the foundation of psychological factors, theories, what we want to call it, is based on your personality. And as we know, everyone's personality has different nuances and is different, because that's what makes us unique. That's what makes the human race how impressive it is. So that for me is quite important to understand that. On the flip side of that, though, I, in certain situations, and again, my wife will kick me in the backside for this, really.
It's fine to do shots, is that what you're going to say?
No, nothing to do with shots. Right. I'll leave them alone after, you know. But in certain environments, and this is weird for me, and I need to get better at this, but in certain environments, so like, for example, if I feel I'm being wronged here, all right, I will go to war for absolutely anyone here. Whereas in a family environment, I'm a bit more laid back. So I don't necessarily know why that is, but it's kind of, I feel that from my point of view, you know, it is all right actually to go, if you're being wronged, to actually let that chimp out sometimes.
Interesting. Well, it certainly serves a purpose, and actually it might be that you've learned through previous experiences, it gets the job done. It gets the outcome that you want. And obviously that's going to be a somewhat filtered, moderated chimp, isn't it? I mean, you're not going full like,
oh yeah, otherwise I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here talking to you. Yeah. But it should be about having that belief in what you believe in. And then actually, because your underpinning is that you want the best for the people at home, the people you work with, you know, those students, those players. That's why you're doing it.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
Otherwise, if you just step back, you get it, whatever.
Yeah. Something you said earlier, I was thinking, you were talking about, so we obviously focus on creating a really safe space, an environment that allows young people, well, and the staff, really, to thrive and be the best they can be. And as you were saying it, I was thinking, yeah, that we do. And that's so important. I've always believed that's so important. However, what about are we preparing young people for those environments where it's not all aligned exactly how they want it and need it? And if we're not, how can we? Like, how can we? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a discussion I had with Steve quite a lot. In the fact of it's a real shame that for some, this 2 or 3 year period might be the best period of their life. Not in totality, but in the short term. I would argue that we don't have everything here. So we're not we don't have the biggest budgets. We don't have the, as we know, facility wise, we don't have all the all singing, all dancing facility. We had this discussion the other day where, you know, it was posed to me, Dave, would we have the success we have across all the sports we have if we had the state-of-the-art, you know, gyms, 3G, sports hall, physio, all that kind of stuff. Would we have that same success?
Oh, yeah. Would they lose it?
Or would they lose it? Would they lose it? Yeah, exactly. Because I've always come from, believe it or not, an underdog mentality. So we're always number two.
Mm.
So is it, what is it? Trainers number two is, or players, trainers are, I don't know, whatever order it's in, but kind of that ethos of where you're always the underdog. It's little Worthing College, it's little me going up against, you know, it's David against Goliath. But there's, you know, nothing is impossible.
Mm.
So I think the environment, and again, it's not bricks and mortar. It's the people in it.
Yeah.
And I think I get that. And I think it is a shame that potentially some people, in terms of sport, not in terms of life in general, in terms of sport, arguably this may be the best 2 to 3 years of what they ever do, to a point. But actually, they should have, or they do have, the understanding that they can always count on us. They can always contact us. They're alumni. They're part of the family. We talk about the family ethos quite a lot, which a lot of people do. But again, do they have context to it? You know, so, you know, family is like, great example, a couple of years ago, there's a lad, third year guy, obviously captain, main guy, top man, guy called Jamie Franklin. What an individual he was, or he still is. First year, literally started in the set, just, it was September, started, you know, kind of really nervous, sitting on his own. Jamie just come and pulled a chair next to him and started talking to him. But how, you know, that for me is much more of a success than like winning on the pitch. That's human behaviour. That's social intelligence, emotional intelligence being developed.
Yeah, that's
great.
And I
think you have got that, you've got that balance of, you know, but we need to create the best environment we can to get the best out of the individual. But again, it goes back to the control and the controllable, doesn't it? We can't control what they do once they leave.
No.
We can advise. We can lead them to water.
Yeah, role model.
It is.
Inspire.
It is, unfortunately or fortunately, it's up to them. But I do think there is something in the fact of we're sitting here. It's quite a nice classroom environment. But, you know, we're sitting here without all the big amenities of the big colleges. But we're really successful because of that.
Mm.
And I don't necessarily know if we would be, it'd be interesting. We'll give it a go if you want. If anyone's got a load of £1 million, we'll do with it.
Yeah,
we'll try it and we'll do an experiment for you and we'll, you know, we'll promise to pay it back.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just think from that point of view, working as the underdog, training as the underdog, developing yourself as an academic, look, there's loads of underdog stories in academia, right? Especially here and especially on your course, you know, a couple of chaps in particular, on the second year course, you know, as we know,
yeah.
Alfie and Dan, who top boys, by the way, you know, look, 2 or 3 years ago, they wouldn't rock up to a class.
Yeah, you know, and then asking questions, specific questions about the work now, yeah.
And you've got, you know, you've got them talking about concepts and theories that, you know, would be an absolute million miles away from them.
Mm.
But what we did do, we harboured it, we supported it. We didn't throw them out, which potentially some establishments would do, because they don't want it to look bad on their data. Cool. But I'm all about the person. You know, if data is data, for me, I'm all about the person. And, you know, they're two success stories of hundreds.
Yeah, because I remember once upstairs, I think you were in the office and you said, how's your day going? I said, amazing. I've just taught Alfie Mitchell the difference between independent and dependent variables. And he understands. And he showed me he understood. I was like... That's research methods as well. Like, who likes research methods?
Checks in the post app, yeah.
But yeah, that's an interesting conversation, isn't it? Because I know like a lot of people, they talk, so you know, like the trust fund kids, and they have a lot of problems with like drug addiction, all the rest of it. Because the moment you, like, if your children know that one day they're going to inherit a lot of money, or, you know, it kills their ambition. And it's unfortunate because if you go, right, well, you're not getting anything, they'll hate you. But if you leave them, they're going to get loads of money, they've got to just sit pretty and wait for it, then they haven't got that drive anymore to go after something great. So that our mind just gets occupied with other things, and that's when a lot of them do find themselves just becoming addicted. Because for some reason, this kind of like discomfort that we all sort of try to run away from, or I said not all of us actually, but that we try to avoid, that still doesn't bring us contentment. Like when you avoid discomfort, you still don't get contentment and satisfaction. And like we were saying earlier, weren't we, about how you got to get comfortable being uncomfortable, because that it almost keeps you occupied and keeps on the straight and narrow. Because without that, you find mischief elsewhere, don't you?
Yeah, also on the other side of that, I think because people and young people and even us slightly older people, you know, because it's ease of access to everything, sometimes I think it muddies the waters in terms of actually what do people want to do as a career. And actually the fact of it's not a problem not knowing what you want to do, but you need to kind of start to think about an area and what it would be in. So obviously the question this time of year, actually, to be fair, start of this year, is kind of what you're doing next, especially to the second, third year students, what you're doing next. Quite a few of them have an idea, or they're going to uni, or they're looking at this, or they're coming onto the FD, you know, all those kind of things. But there's still a lot of them that like, I don't know, or gap year. Gap year's a good one. But in terms of the don't know, what we need to do better is kind of, you know, trying to remove that don't know. But I think a lot of that is down to the fact that they have too much in front of them.
Yeah, too much.
There's too many. So like you could be, I don't know, the next TikTok sensation, and, you know, that's well out of my comfort zone and well out of my understanding. But, you know, online, I watched a documentary about KSI and Logan Paul, just really interesting in terms of how they went from X and how they adapted and overcame things, and obviously are now pretty damn rich. But
I know nothing about them, by the way, but I bet they absolutely grafted.
Yeah, and they made mistakes. They were in a lot of controversy, but then they found something which clicked, which was, you know, kind of the boxing game. And then obviously the drink come out and Prime and all that kind of stuff. But that, you know, there was, you know, it started from X, and now it's at Y. But I do think young people these days, God, I sound old. Young people, is that, you know, there's almost too much for them.
Yeah,
there's almost too much choice. There's almost too much opportunity. So if there's any advice to a young person that might be listening, or they might have turned off by now, because obviously it's good for insomnia, this one maybe, obviously have an idea. You don't have to have an idea, but kind of have an area that you want to kind of narrow it down a little bit. And obviously, if you want to do a gap years could be unreal. You know, one of the main, not a regret, because I don't regret anything I've done, but potentially it might have been nice to have had a gap year to have travelled the world and stuff. I've been fortunate to go loads of places, loads of countries, whatnot, with my wife and my family. But, you know, a gap year, if it's a gap year, it needs to be nailed. So it needs to be, right, 3 months I'm doing this, 3 months I'm doing this, I'm going here, I'm going there, this is when it's booked. So whenever anyone says gap year to me, I'm like, have you planned it? Because gap year then turns into, I'll work at, I'm not going to say any kind of establishment because that'd be disrespectful to those establishments, but I'm going to work here at £10 an hour and just, you know, have my car, have my social.
Live with my folks.
Yeah,
live at home. Spend the money I get on going out.
And then not exert yourself, not go to that next level.
I think it's a little bit, is it FOMO, where they're worried that if they choose this path, they're missing out on this path over here and that one could be better. So then they're like a rabbit in headlights, aren't they, where they just can't choose. And I'm with you. I'm like, just pick one. Just pick one. Yeah, it might be later down the line you find out actually this would be better. Then do that to the best of your ability. Take everything you can from that. You know, like even degrees, like you hear it all the time, people get jobs that in professions where they're not using their degree. So what? On that degree, I'm sure you met some cool people. You probably learned how to manage deadlines, you know, manage your time effectively, be polite, be attentive. There's so many skills you pick up from doing a degree. And actually, for me, from someone that has employed people, I will look at a CV and I'll be like, you know, he's got a degree in geography. He's applying to be a working fitness industry. I'm valuing that degree in geography because it tells me something.
And actually, it's pretty cool because you'd ask about it. You go, yeah, why did you do that? What was the thing doing that? So it sparks a conversation.
Definitely.
But as we know, you know, university is not the only option. There's so many options out there. But I just think, don't be afraid to have a go at something. But, and this is another thing, try to finish it. Do you know what I mean? Be a little bit of a completer finisher. That's one of my things. Like, I have a pop at home all the time. I'm a real completer finisher. If I do something, I've got to finish it before I move on.
Mm.
So it's like, for example, look, obviously there's a certain time frame to, I don't know, for example, you go to college and you don't like your course. Well, okay. If something else, which is better, comes along, that's fine, which doesn't inhibit that gap in learning or that gap in work. But what I always say to students is when they're a bit umming and ahhing is that actually, you know, if you have that gap where you maybe failed or didn't complete this course, it's always going to come back to you.
Mm.
An employer will always ask, what happened with those 12 months in 2023, 2024? And you always have to explain it. So you might as well finish it and go, do you know what? Didn't really like it, but I finished it. I got this, which then allowed me to do that. So it's, yeah, again, like it all boils down to mindset. It's just a mindset of the individual.
Yeah.
You know, whether they're willing to do it or not, whether they're willing to feel uncomfortably comfortable. You know, I do a diagram a lot in my teaching where I'll draw like a graph and I'll put, you know, performance and time, and it's just a massive squiggle, or success and time, it's just a massive squiggle. Because as you know, you can be up here one day, down there, back there, that up there, it's just a massive squiggle. Mm. It just, you know, there will be, it's never linear, it's never straight, it's, you'll get there if you want to get there.
I look at it like, you know, investing in low risk stock, for example. So if you look at something like the FTSE 500, over time, like, you know, say like a 10 year period in history, it's never gone down. Now it goes down, up and down each day and each week and month and what have you. But over a 10-year period, it never goes down. It will always go up. And I think everything you're just saying there, like if you are doing all these things, if you are tenacious, if you're working hard, it keeps reflecting, how can I be better? You know, take the compliments, take the encouragement, the praise, and take that and feel good about it. But then go, okay, that's amazing. How can I be better? Give me something I can work on. Work on that. If you do all that stuff, over time, you are going to be better. I mean, over a 10-year period, you're going to be a lot better than what you were.
But also, don't be afraid to be critiqued either.
Mm.
And again, it probably comes back down to that chimp. Obviously, no one likes being critiqued. But actually, at the same time, and this is why, you know, I felt I worked so well all those years with Jimmy Punter. I'll give him a mention, you know. He'll give me the royalties. So, you know, I hope you're well, mate. But I always felt that's why we work so well, because, you know, he's an incredibly talented individual. He knows his stuff. We were very much yin and yang in terms of our kind of our ethos on how to get the best out of performers, but we worked really well. So he wouldn't be afraid to go, Dave, actually, I don't agree with what you're saying, and vice versa. Mm. And we'd have a conversation about it, and we kind of like come up with, whether it be a compromise or whether I go, yeah, Jim, fair play, you're right, mate, or vice versa. So you don't really want to be surrounding yourself with yes people. So I'm not saying yes men or yes women, politically correct. So you don't want to surround yourself with yes people. You want to surround yourself with people that will challenge you, that will go brilliant, but at the same time will go, do you know what, actually, this might be better for you.
Mm.
And as a person, you've got to hear that. You don't get, you, for me, you don't get better otherwise, because you just end up being in your same, you know, your same silo, your same routine.
You absolutely do, and I completely agree with you. But does that come with age and confidence? Because I very much, like, I changed my evaluation forms for Storm Fitness Academy a few years ago. I changed them to be anonymous because I was concerned that people were just telling me what they thought I wanted to hear, and I'm not evaluating them for them to tell me how wonderful I am. As much as it is lovely to read those comments, if people say nice things, I'd still love it. It still feels great. But actually, I wanted them to tell me how I can make things even better. And since we changed the, since I've made them anonymous, now everyone tells me I'm crap. No, they don't. But no, but they start putting things in the comments, like suggestions, nice little suggestions. Yep. And you're like, yes, let's do that. Let's try and develop that. Let's create that. And I love getting that stuff. So it's so valuable. But I don't know if I would have done that as a young person. I don't know.
But if you think about that, that's from a person who's not as close to you. That's a customer, if you see what I mean. So it's not like, it's not necessarily a colleague or someone who's works closely with you day to day. That's a consumer, which they might not feel confident in putting down what they say by you saying that they have to put their name down. But by being anonymous, they can be quite fair and realistic.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted.
I think it's how you take that feedback and how you implement it.
Mm.
But actually having so like, you know, I'll go back to my wife, Laura, beautiful Laura. She'll tell me how it is, and I quite like that. Do you know what I mean? So if I'm being a bit of a what's it? She's telling me. Yeah. but then that's cool. Rather than like,
she went to the same wife's school as my wife.
There you go. Yeah. But I'd rather be there. I'd rather be, you know, and I'll give it back as well. It's not just a one way street. You know, not under the thumb and all that nonsense, right? so I said that. Look at that. It's out there now. It's out there. but yeah, that's. I'd rather know where I stand.
Mm. Mm. You don't want smoke blowing up your bum.
No.
Because you can imagine one day something coming up and you're like, why didn't you tell me about this 10 years ago?
Exactly.
What do you mean you're leaving me? Why didn't you tell me about this 10 years
ago? But yeah.
But yeah, no, seriously, I mean, that's in every relationship, isn't it? Work, college, business, family, whatever.
Mm.
Okay, let's sum this up then, Dave. I'm going to, yeah, let's put you on the spot because I feel like you're up for that. give me three things, and if possible, actionable, because we want to be able to control the controllables, don't we, Dave? And three things that a young person who wants to go out and make their mark on the world, you know, or just not even make their mark on the world, but just go on to have a good career. What are three things that you would say they could work on that are quite actionable and not necessarily genetic or whatever else?
No, you haven't, because I thought of them while you're talking. I was just trying to think about how I phrase it. So the first thing for me is overemphasize your strengths for me. So whatever you feel you're good at, really be the best at that you possibly can be.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is be real. So that's not an app, by the way, where you take a picture of one way and it comes back the other way. Look at me, you know, technology. Apparently there's an app called Be Real.
Is there,
right?
Really?
Yeah, apparently, know. Yeah. That's for the younger viewers, right?
Pop culture.
Yeah, so be real. Be real with yourself and be real with others. And then the third one really is work. You know, I'll go back, Ben Coulson, work harder than anyone else in the room. So if you do those, for me, there's so much. If you do those three things, you're gonna do all right.
I like those. I feel, do you know what? I feel like they all interlink as well. Because the first one you said, play to your strengths, really get even better at that. So my brain's already going, if it's a strength and it's a recognized strength from quite early on in your life, there's probably some natural ability there.
Mm.
So natural ability plus the third one, hard work.
Yeah, you hear that all the time, don't you? What is it they're saying about talent beats, you know, or working hard beats talent if talent doesn't work hard, and you know, all that kind of stuff. It's working hard for me is non-negotiable. Absolute non-negotiable. Because if you don't work hard, you'll never know.
Mm.
And again, it's not looking around and going, oh, I'm working harder than him, I'm working harder than her. It's the fact of just do what you can to work as hard as you can in whatever field that is. And if you, for me, if you overemphasize your strengths, your areas of development, or weaknesses, obviously you want to be politically correct, areas of development, they will follow. They will come with you.
Mm.
So, but because your strengths are so overemphasized, people are just focusing on them. They're not focusing on what you can't do. They're focusing on what you can do. And I think that's the same in education and in sport. I think that's, and that is something that's quite a flip from the norm. Mm. So as I said earlier, norm is, you're not doing that, you've got to do it like that. Sound like Harry Enfield, right?
Yeah.
For the older listeners. See, we're catering to everyone here.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's really important to me. Overemphasize your strengths. So what you're good at, do it more, work harder, and be real. Be real to yourself and be real to others.
So be real, when you say be real, I'm thinking like be authentic. So
yeah,
I think that's going to be easier too. If you, so you find out what your strengths are, and actually, and 9 times out of 10, those strengths are something that actually you quite enjoy too, because yep. that's why it's a strength.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got this natural ability that to do whatever it is, something that you're naturally lean towards better at, you work even harder at that, which is going to be easier because it's a strength of yours. It's part of you, so it's probably going to be easier for you to be more authentic. Because if you're going, oh, I don't know, like I want to think of some example, like if I was like, I think it'd be quite cool to be the best guitar player in Worthing. And just because I think it'd be cool, I think I'd be popular if I was really good at playing the guitar. I don't have any natural ability at that. Working harder is going to be really tough because I don't have any natural ability. It's not really me. So it's almost like a non-starter. It's not going to go. I'm going to struggle to adhere to that. But yeah, I like that, Dave. So if you find out what your strengths are, hit that hard. Be the hardest worker in the room with regard to your strengths. And then you'll probably be real and authentic at the same time. Good little take-home message there. Thank you, Dave.
It's all right. No problem.
Cheers for coming on.
Thank you.
Now, if you enjoyed today's episode, something you can do for me is subscribe to my show. And if you know anyone else that might be interested in this content, then please share it with them too. You can also head over to our socials and follow us on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook and YouTube. But if you're ready to take that next step, visit our website, www.stormfitnessacademy.co.uk, fill out a contact form, that'll come straight to me. I will contact you shortly afterwards, and I look forward to speaking to you then.